Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Jesus said, "Everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. If the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed." That's great news. Freedom is living without the shackles of sin and its penalty. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a four-part series on the gifts Jesus brought to us so long ago. We've come now to gift number four. Join us as we hear about Jesus, the gift of freedom.
Well, all of us have birthdays, and I'm sure we are glad when other people recognize that and they acknowledge our age. Some of us are to the point when our kids want to blow out the candles on the cake, they get pushed back because of the flames. But nonetheless, we all delight in the fact that people remember our birthdays. But there is no birthday that has ever been remembered with as much detail as the birthday of Jesus Christ. And that only makes sense because he is a very unusual child. His birth was unusual. He was born of a virgin. You know, sometimes it is said by those who are critical of Christianity that there are other miraculous birth stories in pagan literature. That's true, but they're very different. For example, it is said that Alexander the Great had a miraculous birth. Well, after a person becomes famous, people look back and then they invent these mythologies. Jesus Christ's miraculous birth was predicted and mentioned right at the beginning. The other great difference is that these other stories are filled with degrading comments and degrading information about God's having a sexual relationship with women, and suddenly you have a miraculous birth. When you read the New Testament account, you discover that it is bathed in holiness. The Bible says that an angel came to a virgin and said, "That which is created within you is of the Holy Spirit." Jesus had an unusual birth. He also had an unusual amount of criticism and hostility. Imagine what happened. We, of course, think of the tremendous tragedy in Newtown, Connecticut. And yet we have to remember that Jesus Christ's birth elicited so much hostility that Herod, you remember, he killed all of the babies that were in Bethlehem, the baby boys 2 years of age and under, hoping that he'd kill Jesus. Imagine a king being intimidated by the birth of a baby. He must have known that this was a very unusual baby, to be sure. Jesus had an unusual upbringing, and then he has an unusual ministry and dies on a cross and then has an unusual resurrection. Well, might we honor his birth? But you know, when you stop to think of it, you realize that when we end with the birth story, we often miss the heart of the Christmas story. Now let's take, for example, Abraham Lincoln, who was born, I believe, in 1809, February the 12th. Let's suppose that his father, whose name was Thomas, his mother's name was Nancy. Let us suppose that all that we did in our history book is look at pictures of where he was born in that one-room log cabin in Kentucky. And we stare at those, and that's where it ends. The reason that we might be interested in the birth of Lincoln and the date in which he was born and where he was born is because of who he turned out to be and what he did. And that is true also of the story of Jesus. It doesn't end in Bethlehem. And that's why today I want to move beyond the manger to the actual man, Jesus. And this is part of a series of messages, actually the last in a four-part series on gifts that Jesus brought to us. We talked about the gift of light and the gift of life and the gift of love. Today, the gift of liberty or freedom. That's what I'm going to be speaking about. And this really is an exposition of the words of the angel when the angel came to Mary and to Joseph and said, "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Most High, And then the text says in Matthew chapter 1, he came to save his people from their sins, to bring freedom from sin. And that's why we're moving beyond the Bethlehem story today to an encounter that Jesus had with some Jews, some of those who were the sons of Abraham, in the 8th chapter. In the 8th chapter of the book of John. And this is a very testy encounter, and we're going to be digging into it and seeing what this deliverance that the angel promised is really all about. John chapter 8, I'm picking it up at verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, and by the way, it's page 894 if you have a Bible that is there in the seat ahead of you, page 894. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we're the offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? And Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you're Abraham's offspring. Yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father. What an amazing statement, as we shall see in a moment, that Jesus made. Now, what we'd like to do in the next few moments is to go on a fact-finding trip about truth that really sets people free. He shall save his people from their sins. First of all, let us notice that truth exists. Truth exists. Jesus said, you shall know the truth. When I was going to school, it was said that truth is really the consensus of a lot of people. There's sociological truth. Today, of course, in postmodernism, everyone has his own truth. There's my truth, there's your truth, and my thoughts are true simply because I think them. It's all fraught with contradiction and impossibilities, but people are willing to believe an awful lot of stuff to justify what they want to do, don't they? And that's where we are at. You know, many years ago, and that's many years ago, I'm estimating maybe 40 years ago, I was talking to a parishioner in another church, and she was sitting beside someone in university who wrote a paper of 2 pages on why there is no truth, and she gave it to me to read. I answered in about 2 lines and said, if there is no truth, I know in advance that the paper that you have written is false. As a matter of fact, if you were consistent, you'd never open your mouth, because the moment you do, we know that you're saying something other than truth. So she gave it to him, and she never heard about him. He never said a word to her the entire semester, which was really consistent with his view of truth, I might say. Truth has universality. 2 + 2 = 4. That's true in India. It's true all over the world. Truth has consistency. There's no such thing as a logical contradiction. Contradiction is a Charlie horse between the ears. Nobody can believe a contradiction. Truth also has other elements such as objectivity. There could be stars in the sky that we've never seen, but they are up there anyway, and if they are there, that is true whether we've discovered it or not. Parenthetically, not sure that I heard it this year, but other years I heard that you could buy somebody a star for Christmas. I thought, you know, that's a great idea. Buy somebody a star for Christmas and then invite them to go check on their property. And if they don't like it, you could guarantee they get their money back. Somebody's making some money on this thing, selling people stars. But anyway, the stars exist whether we acknowledge it or not. Now, the truth that Jesus is talking about, the religious truth, is first of all his words. You'll notice what his words say. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples, and you'll know the truth. Every word that proceeded out of the mouth of Jesus was a true word. Thy word is truth. If you want to find some truth, read the Gospels and find out what Jesus had to say. But more than that, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He embodies truth. In him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That baby there in the manger in Bethlehem had all of the attributes of God. And when he was held in the arms of Joseph and Mary and later on Simeon, there was a part of Jesus that was invisible to the human eye, but in their hands they were holding, in their arms they were holding the Son of God, whose nature was God of very God and man, both in one person. You know, I frequently refer to my daughter, our oldest daughter. You know, the average kid asks, I think, 500,000 questions by the age of about 7 or 8. I think our oldest daughter got to that quota at about 4 years old. But she said, who was taking care of the world when God was a baby? Very good question. Who was taking care of the world when God was a baby? Well, that baby had the attributes of deity, and God was still taking care of the world, and Christ was still taking care of the world. No wonder the Bible says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Wow. There is such a thing as truth. Look at Jesus, who is the truth embodied. Wow. Second, truth can be known. You shall know the truth. Truth can be known. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The knowledge of God, for example, is revealed most clearly through Jesus. Though we see the knowledge of God in the Old Testament, it is in Jesus that we see the Father full of grace and truth. And so Jesus comes to us and says, you can know the truth. Now, you can't know anything exhaustively. In fact, we don't know everything about anything. Our knowledge is always limited, and our knowledge of this infinite being called God, our knowledge of God is always limited, but it is meaningful. We can have a meaningful relationship with God, though we don't understand all about him. And so that's what Jesus offers. You shall know the truth, and it's possible to know it. My friend, during this Christmas season, aren't you especially glad for Jesus, who could say that he was the way and the truth and the life? In an age of confusion, to be able to look to Christ and to know that he sets us free because we know the truth. Now, there's something that should motivate us to worship him and to worship him in new ways. Thank you so much for listening and for your contribution to the ministry of Running to Win. As I frequently say, it's because of friends like you that we have the opportunity of sharing the good news of the gospel around the world. And there's no time to do that that is better than the Christmas season, when we are reminded of the coming of Jesus and what it's all about. Let's spread the good news.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. That was Erwin Lutzer with Jesus, the Gift of Freedom, the last of 4 Christmas messages on the gifts Jesus brought to us. Next time, more from John chapter 8 on the deliverance Jesus brings. All 4 messages about the gifts Jesus brought to us can be yours on CD, sent as a thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.